Please stand. I will sing of your steadfast love forever. With my mouth, I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations.
I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. And as we take a moment for silent reflection, let us confess our sins silently. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done, and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us,
so that we may delight in your will
and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live through your hearts in faith. Amen. And at this time, while we play the opening hymn, the children are released for jam.
Thank you. the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. God, you direct our lives by your grace, and your words of justice and mercy reshapes the world. Mold us into a people who welcome you, your word, and serve one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Jeremiah, the 28th chapter. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words that you have prophesied and bring back to this place from Babylon, the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. But listen now to this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in singing verses 1 and 2 of How Firm a Foundation, based on Psalm 89. Or not.
Our Sarah. We believe that. He can do it.
Sarah.
Sarah.
Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah. Sarah.
The second reading is from Romans, the 6th chapter. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart in the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of the prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. So it should come as good news to know that last week we were asked to take up our cross and follow Jesus. This week all we have to do is give a cup of cold water. And there are no balloons today. So, I love drinks. No, not alcoholic drinks. The epilepsy took care of that. But I love drinks. You know, my coffee. I'll get there. But if I'm leaving the house for any more than an hour, I always show up to the car with pretty much an armful of drinks, just like this. And Andrea just rolls her eyes and says, "You got all your drinkies? Can we go now?" So when I come to church, I have this mug, my mug of coffee, because it's insulated, because I needed to stay hot, because lukewarm coffee is gross. And then I have this other insulated cup here. This is my insulated cup of water, but it's not just any water, it's ice water because I like to drink ice cold water. And then if any of you, what? Are you heckling me? My daughter's heckling me today. So, and if any of you, I'm getting there, and if any of you have ever been to a meeting with me here at the church, a council meeting, those are horrible, or any other meeting, council meetings are the worst, Mike. It's not your fault, it's just the nature. Anyway, yeah, okay. If you've ever been to a meeting with me, you'll notice this. This is my cooler, and in this, I have my sparkling water. So let's see here. I have LaCroix Pamplemousse, which is a fancy way of saying grapefruit. So this is grapefruit sparkling water. It's pretty good. Tastes kind of gross after coffee, but, you know. Let's see. We have pomegranate dragon fruit. We have cranberry lime. We have Raz cranberry. And then, of course, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 ice packs in there because I need it to stay cold. I don't want to drink warm, sparkling water. So for some of us, me especially, and I would say probably all of us in this room, hydration, having something to drink, is luxury. Yes, it's necessity, but it's luxury. Hot coffee, sweetened with one of 80 different options of flavored syrup, or, you know, that sweet cream cold brew from Starbucks. Anybody had one of those? Oh, it's like my favorite summer drink. Or, you know, the Speedways got bought out by, 7-Eleven? So now you can go there and you can get big gulps and Slurpees. And then in that same convenience store, they have energy drinks and you know, all of the options of alcoholic drinks, which I can't drink. But, you know, have fun. And when it comes to just water, we have waters that are purified by reverse osmosis, whatever that is. Randy can probably tell us, but, you know. pH-balanced water, spring water, volcanic spring water. We have water shipped here all the way from Fiji. And all of these options are here for us to drink. So I would venture a guess that when Jesus today instructs, give a cup of cold water to these little ones, we are probably not the little ones that he's referring to. We are the ones instructed to give the drink because, as I just explained, I don't think any of us are worried about going thirsty. But I must ask, this is a question and answer session. What is significant about the term little ones? What does the term little ones mean here? Should we just say little ones means young children, or is it bigger than that? Bigger than that. What does little ones imply? Well, kids, yes, but what is it about kids that would make Jesus want to make sure they have a cup of cold water? All of God's people, all right. What? Innocence. No power. I like where you're going with that. So, little ones, I think we could replace with words like underprivileged, marginalized, those at risk of being exploited. Little ones are at risk of all of that if those that have power don't take care of them, right? So, can I get a show of hands here? How many of you in your lives have used physical labor as a means to make a living? Anybody here? I have to probably put my hand down. So I know that we have some carpenters here, we have farmers, those that were in the military, some factory workers, and I would say that those whose bodies are used to make a living, in my opinion, are the most at risk of being exploited in the workplace. See, I used to work in a factory. Most of you know that. It did not have air conditioning. Randy, did any of the factories? No, they didn't have air conditioning, right? So even worse than my factory, it had open flames and ovens that got up to 800 degrees Celsius, not Fahrenheit, Celsius. So if you were standing at the exit of one of those ovens in the summer, it could easily reach 120 degrees Fahrenheit. So on the hottest days, it was literally someone's job in the factory to go around doing exactly what Jesus instructed here today, to give a cup of cold water. They would go around on a cart and with a cooler of bottles of water and give people water. And they would ask them how they were feeling, and they would make sure that they were showing no signs of heat exhaustion. Not because the union had negotiated that with us. They didn't. Not because there are laws that said we had to do it. There aren't laws that say you have to do that. No, because we value the humanity of our employees, and sometimes this is as simple as giving a cup of cold water. But this week there was a controversy in Texas over extreme heat water break law. So I'm not going to get into the details of this. Go ahead and Google it. It's complex. I'm not here to make a political statement. What I want to focus on is the fact that there are employers who would even need such a law in this country in the first place. Do we really live in a country that's so focused on money and profit that they need a law to tell people to pause every 4 hours to treat their employees humanely, to give them a cup of cold water and some rest when temperatures hit triple digits? You see, no one should have to ask the question, should I take an unapproved water break or should I risk losing my job? And by the way, my means of supporting my family, or should I risk of dying of heat stroke? Unless you think that people aren't forced to make this decision, Rowendy Granillo died after being refused a water break while he was installing hardwood floors in a poorly ventilated house in Texas in 2015. And the only thing I can ask is, how on earth do we need a law that tells us that people need water to not die? And there was a second water controversy this week, if you paid attention to the news, this one involving Navajo Nation. This is a Native American reservation in the American Southwest. It spreads across 17 million acres of Arizona, Utah, New Mexico. It's in the Four Corners area of the United States. So on the northwestern edge of Navajo Nation is the Colorado River. So Navajo Nation is blessed with plenty of water to drink, right?
No,
they are not. So the Colorado River right now is kind of like a kinked garden hose. So there's a decades-long drought that's been going on in the area because of reduced snowpack in the mountains that feed that river. And the American Southwest, the populations have been increasing because people want to live there for some reason. I'm not sure why. And in California, increasing also. And because those populations are increasing, obviously the need for water goes up. And California feeds most of this country with the fruits and vegetables and nuts and everything that they grow. So their farms need water too. So the line of people waiting to drink from that kinked garden hose keeps getting longer and longer and longer. And Navajo Nation, even though it's bordered by the Colorado River, keeps being told, get to the back of that line. So unfortunately for Navajo Nation, water rights is not something they mentioned in the treaty that they signed with the U.S. government in the year 1867. not 19, 1868, which, if we're doing a little math there, 155 years ago, let's put it in reference to some other big events in our country at the time. That was 5 years after slavery was made illegal. So that treaty only promised they could stay on the land that they were already living on. The U.S. government seems to be taking a guess you should have thought about needing water 155 years ago kind of approach. And Navajo Nation continues to struggle meeting water needs of its people with no end in sight. Unless you think, once again, that I'm making a political statement here, it's up to the U.S. Congress. It's up to the U.S. Congress to make treaties. And if you pay attention to politics, our U.S. Congress, over the last 155 years, has been ruled by both Democrats and Republicans and everyone in between. So it's not a political thing. It's a humanity thing. So when I saw these two stories this week, I became angry. Not just because of what I perceive as injustice and lack of humanity, but because I felt helpless. What am I, one person in Ohio? Yes, you give me a microphone once a week. And, you know, I make those little videos that we put out once a week too. But what can I do with a single voice? What can I do to compel people to have just a small sliver of humanity? Even if it's just a little bit, just an ounce that says, hey, it's 120 degrees in here. Here's a cup of water. Why don't you take a 5-minute break? Or how am I supposed to convince Congress that maybe they should take a look at a treaty that was written 155 years ago when the general view of the Navajo is that they were enemies and savages? And the answer I heard was, I can't. I can't do anything to change either of these situations. And guess what? That just made me even madder, as you can tell because I'm yelling at you right now. So I knew I just had to preach about it. How could I not? I mean, Jesus gives the simplest of instructions. He says, give a cup of cold water to the little ones, the marginalized, the exploited, those most at risk. And here we are, collectively, in a so-called civilized society, and we can walk into any gas station and choose from 300 varieties of cold drinks. And we are failing. I, who frequently leave the house with my arm full of drinkies, my ice water, my coffee, I need a drink now anyway, my pamplemousse, sparkling water, I need that break. We're failing because there are people here in this country that still need cold water. Or I bet they would just settle for any water. And instead of us filling their cups, we fight over who has the right to have water and when they have the right to have that water. We fight against, some of us fight against this inhumanity. We fight against unjust systems. And still we fail at doing the simple thing that Jesus asked to get today, to give a cup of cold water. And I'm complicit in this. And it makes me very angry. And if we're honest with ourselves, I think that we will find that we are all complicit in systemic sin that allows us to continue, that allows people to continue being thirsty. So after moping, after being angry for a few days and then setting that aside and that settled into like a general malaise of grumpiness, which happens sometimes, I realized something. The only reason I felt helpless is because I wasn't actually listening to what Jesus said to do in the first place, was I? You see, I can't change labor laws. I can't do that, not on my own. I can't convince every employer to respect human dignity. I can't do that on my own. I can't renegotiate treaties. But I can give someone, even if it's just one person, a cold drink of water. We aren't asked to do it all. We're not asked to do it all. Did you hear that Romans reading today? We are freed. We didn't do that work. Jesus already did everything that needs to be done, right? A few weeks ago, I made a really big deal about this sign, this love one another sign. We have like three of them out, you know, side now. There's a bunch of them in the lobby for you to take home and put in your yard. We've got a bunch of other little like stuffs out there for you to take home and be a love one another ambassador. But I made a big deal about this crazy new idea of loving one another. It's a crazy new idea. And I brought in that sign and I made a whole sermon about it. And there, yeah, I already did that part. Well, so the sign was created. The sign was created by a movement called Love Will Heal. Love Will Heal. And this organization created something called the Love Will Heal 30-Day Challenge. So this challenge is built on the premise that if we dispense just a little bit of love, just a little bit, every single day, we can heal what is broken. We can mend what stands divided. We're not negotiating water treaties. We are giving cold cups of water. And what might spreading love look like for us unimaginative folks? And these little cards give some examples. Let's see. Smile at everyone you see today. Or for those of you whose smiling muscles are a little out of shape, maybe just smile at a few people in a given day. We don't want you to get a cramp. Visit a nursing home. Call an old friend. Oh, how did that one make the list? It says wash someone's or a vicar's car. So it's a 2008 Ford Focus. Silver. It's got a little bit of rust below the doors. It says, bake a dessert for a friend or a vicar or an accompanist. Send a card to a member of the military. Does all of this sound daunting to you? If it does, here's a really simple one. Hold a door open for someone. Y'all can do that on the way out. Well, the last person out, So all of these are ways that we can give a cup of cold water to someone, right? So here's what's cool about the way this lined up. Today is July 2nd. How many days are there in July? 31. So that means if you started the day by July 31st, the end of this month, you could complete this challenge, right? So what might your love start healing today? And if you're thinking, what difference will this make in the grand scheme of things? Well, for all of you pessimists out there, I'm going to do a little bit of math. That's my old engineering brain. So let's say roughly 40 people, right? 30 acts of love. Anybody? Anybody? 1,200. How many people live in Galleon, roughly? Anyone know? What? 10,000. Right around 10,000. So, 1,200 acts of love concentrated in the Galleon area over the next month. That's like 10% of Galleon covered with small healing cups of cold, loving water. That is a big deal. But what's more, along with these acts of love, along with this healing love, along with these metaphorical cups of cold water, when we do these things, we deliver cups upon buckets upon rivers of living water. The living water that we know to be Jesus Christ. The living water that never ends, the water that doesn't quench thirst but floods the soul. The water that is the wellspring of life. The water that drenches our dryness. The water that makes us, all of us, whole. And if you like that last little paragraph, I didn't write it. It comes from the hymn that we're going to sing here in just a minute. So for all of that water that quenches all of our thirst, I say thanks be to God. And as we sing this hymn, Lydia will be handing you your 30-day Love Will Heal Challenge. So, seriously consider trying to do this over the next month. Amen.
You to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth.
I believe
in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again.
He ascended into heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Trusting in God's abundant mercy, let us offer our prayers for a world in need.
We pray for the church, for wisdom to heed the voices of prophets in our midst who cast a vision for God's promised future, for courage to welcome people whom society rejects, for resolve to serve all in need. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. We pray for creation, for all rivers, lakes, oceans, and streams that water resources, like the Colorado River, may be shared with equity, that all may have access to a clean, cold drink of water. For lands experiencing scorching heat in places like Texas, for people who live and work in the heat, for wildfires blazing in Canada, for the lands being destroyed, and for those impacted by the haze being cast over the land. For conservation organizations and environmental activists, that their focus may be on preserving and protecting your good creation. And for scientists working on clean energy solutions. God, in your mercy.
We pray for this nation and all nations, for presidents, governors, legislators, for judges, juries, district attorneys, and public defenders, for military personnel, and for those who are incarcerated. Guide us in ways of freedom that promote the common good. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. We pray for those in need, for exiles, immigrants, refugees, and those seeking asylum, for victims of harassment, torture, or abuse, For those who are ill, especially Linda, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Jamie, Deb, Frida, Bill, Linda, Tim, Ed, Wilma. For the family and friends of Carol Baxter, and for any near death, and for all who grieve. For those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. We pray for children, for their safety at home and in child care settings, for their flourishing at summer programs and camps, for the many people who care for them, including parents and grandparents, child care workers and teachers, coaches, counselors and mentors, pediatricians and psychologists. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Receive our prayers and answer us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Let's continue with our gifts and our offerings.
God of field and forest, sea and sky, you are the giver of all good things. Sustain us with these gifts of your creation and multiply your graciousness in us, that the world may be fed with your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
And lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table, satisfy your hungry heart. All are welcome. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Dude, I love your hair. It makes you a beloved child of God. You are a beloved child of God. I like your hair too. This is the body of Christ. Please stand. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace.
Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, gracious God, for the refreshment we have received at your banquet table. Send us now to spread your generosity into all the world through the one who is our dearest treasure, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
You may be seated for a few announcements. So, change to our, I'll get to that at the end, sorry. Biggest thing, if you signed up for our Consolidation Task Force small group meetings, and you signed up for today, please stay after church. Everyone else is welcome to stay too, just not for the meeting. But there are two more openings, I think, on the list. So if you want to, you know, do that today, you can stay today as well. Otherwise, there's 9 more sessions on there that, with plenty of openings, please sign up. Otherwise, we will contact you. Thank you. as I announced last week, our noisy offering is now going to rotate on a monthly basis to different missions. This month, it will be going to VBS, Vacation Bible School, which, if you're wondering, is coming up at the end of the month. So if you're interested in, we'll say donating your time, because you can donate your money to the noisy offering. If you're interested in donating your time, please contact Tammy. And finally, October 6th and 7th here at First Lutheran, we will be having a rummage sale, going to help raise funds for our mission and outreach programs. No clothes or electronics, but if you have other stuff that you don't want, we do. And like I said last week, no tires either. So, and we will be waiting to start collecting that stuff from you until after VBS, which is the last week of July, because we'll probably start putting that stuff downstairs, and we're going to need that space for a meal that we're hosting for the CCLP, because that the fifth Sunday in July is going to be held here, and we are going to have a VBS program as part of that, and then a meal afterward with a joint CCLP. So we don't want all our junk down in the basement. So with that, any other announcements this morning? Mike. Thank you for sharing that news with us, Mike. So please keep Carol's family and friends in your prayers. Any other announcements? Seeing and hearing none, then, we will do our first VBS noisy offering.